the very powerful Lord Brahma, who is the master of all other Prajapatis and is therefore known as Prajapatipati, return to his own abode, Brahmaloka. Suraseno yadupatir maturam avasampurim maturam churasenamscha vishayam bhubaje pura. Formerly, Surasena, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, had gone to live in the city of Mathura, where he enjoyed the palaces, the places known as Mathura and Surasena. Rajadhani tata sa bhuj sarva yadava bhubujam Mathura bhagavan yatra nityam sanihito hari. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is understood that Mathura city is the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. It is not an ordinary material city, for it is eternally connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan is within the jurisdiction of Mathura, and it still continues to exist. Because Mathura and Vrindavan are intimately connected with Krishna eternally, it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam nagacchati. At present, the place known as Vrindavan is the district in the district of Mathura, continues its position as a transcendental place. And certainly anyone who goes there becomes transcendentally purified. Navadvip Dham is also intimately connected with Braj Bhumi. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Sri Gaudamandala Bhumi Jeva Jani Chintamani Tarahoi Braja Bhumi Vas. Braja Bhumi refers to Mathura Vrindavan, and Gaurmandala Bhumi includes Navadvip. These two places are non-different. Therefore, anyone living in Navadvip Dham, knowing Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality of Godhead, lives in Braj Bhumi, Mathura Vrindavan. The Lord has made it convenient for the conditioned souls to live in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip, and thus be directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow, but if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura, or Navadvip Dham for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendental importance of Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip Dham. anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus the words, Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Saniho Hari, are particularly important. A devotee should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with this place. Therefore, although Mathura and Vrindavan are situated on this planet Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktabinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. These words spoken by Srila Sukadev Goswami are found in today's verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1, text 26 through 28. In previous verses, it has been explained the plight of Mother Earth. Bhumi is an expansion of the pleasure potency, the motherly aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She presides like the Paramatma is within our heart, like the soul is conscious of every aspect of the body. Similarly, Bhumi, Mother Earth, is conscious of everything happening on this planet, of all the resources of nature that she provides. Bhumi, who is an expansion of Lakshmi, provides everything in the loving service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains it in this way. That Lakshmi Devi is always situated in the loving service of the lotus feet of Sri Narayan. And everything she has created for the loving service of Narayan. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokameheshwaram. Everything is Krishna's property. So Bhumi Devi has supplied the air to breathe, the water, the trees, all the fruits and the vegetables and the grains. Literally everything that exists is all created by her for the loving service of Lord Narayan. But at the same time, she expands herself as the external energy of the Lord, or Maya, to allow the living entities within this creation to exert their free will. Because devotion, bhava, or love, is situated on the free will that every soul has. Being part and parcel of Krishna, we have infinitesimal independence. And when we use the beautiful resources that Bhumi gives us for our own greed, lust, envy, anger, arrogance, under illusion, we pollute, we exploit, we abuse. And this was the condition approximately 5,000 years ago. And it is certainly the condition today as well. Bhumi Devi took the form of a cow and approached Lord Brahma, explaining her plight. Great asuras like Jarasandha, Kamsa, and others were exploiting her resources for their own power, for their own control. They were demoniac. They did not mind exploiting, destroying anything or anyone for their own purposes. They are all her own children. She's seeing them all fighting with each other, causing such pain to each other. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the other devas, along with Bhumi, went to the ocean of milk Chantiti Purusha Shukta. Traditional prayers, especially for the purpose of invoking the compassion of the Supreme Lord. And Vishnu spoke into the heart of Brahma that he would incarnate. And that the devas should also incarnate within the various divisions of the Yadu dynasty. And at that time, Lord Brahma returned to his abode. And Sukadev Goswami is continuing his explanation by speaking about Surasena. A great Kshatriya king who settled in Mathura. And describing here that since that time the city of Mathura has been the capital of the kings of the Yadu dynasty. And how this Mathura is very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. Parikshit Maharaj, at the time of this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, is very close to his death, physically. He had 7 days to live on the banks of the Ganga, not so far from Mathura. He was sitting. And all the great sages and the rishis from all directions came to be with him for this historical event. Narada, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, they were all there. And they unanimously selected Shukadev to speak. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know, what is the ultimate purpose of life? What is the essence of all religions? What is the prime duty of a person about to die? Shukadev Goswami has extracted the very essence of all knowledge, of all Vedas, of all the universes and all of creation, through his realizations. Through his wisdom, he has distilled everything as the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's really a crash course. He didn't have time to go into extraneous descriptions. Think about what you were doing 7 days ago. It's not so long. Most of us have our schedules, have our plans, what we'll do with our life, and they extend far more than 7 days. 7 days go so fast. That's all the king had to live. 100% guaranteed he was going to die in 7 days. And just going from Hastinapur to Shukatal takes some time just to get there. Under that banyan tree on the banks of the river, he inquired from all the sages. And ultimately Shukadev Goswami spoke. Yesterday evening, His Grace Vas Prabhu was
giving people the opportunity to receive the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a benediction. I think he was asking a very minimal price of $250. I was listening. And what is that? We should really see everything in its accurate perspective. $250 comes and goes. $250 million comes and goes. You can't hold on to anything. Maharaj Parikshit was one of the wealthiest people in the whole planet. He was the emperor of the world. He was far more than a billionaire. He had the best chariots. Yes, we have our Mercedes or BMWs or Fords or whatever we may drive, or Harley Davidsons, I don't know, California, so it's a different kind of place. And we think, oh, so nice car. Can you imagine the emperor of the world, what his chariot looked like? What kind of horses he had driving his chariot? We see the houses that the heads of state live in. The emperor of the world, what his palace was. What kind of food he ate. How much money he had. How many armies. He gave everything up. He gave up eating. He gave up his palace. Gave up his beautiful crown with the precious jewels. He gave up hundreds of billions of dollars of what is considered today to be valuable. For what? To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That's all. That was more valuable than anything anywhere. It's the crest jewel of all the Vedic literatures. Vyasadeva himself, he compiled and organized the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda. 108 primary Upanishads, Adibo, and so many other Upanishads, Itihastas, Mahabharata, Puranas. He did it all out of compassion for misguided humanity. He saw these threefold miseries, adiatmaka, adipotika, adidaivaka, miseries of the body and the mind, miseries caused by other living beings, miseries caused by natural disturbances. It did not matter who you were or what you had. You could not escape these miseries. And ultimately, birth, old age, disease, and death. So for the purpose of showing this compassion, to give the highest goal of life to the people of this world, he did all this incredible service with the Vedic literatures. But he wasn't satisfied. He didn't know why. Narada Muni approached him and informed him that you haven't extracted the very essence and exclusively discussed the goal, pure devotional service, and described intimately the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the very crown of all the Vedas that the author himself, Vyasadeva, has proclaimed is this Srimad Bhagavatam. And the context in which it's spoken, Srila Prabhupada explains, is the situation we're all in. We're all about to die. Whether it's 7 days or 70 years, doesn't make much difference. Time goes very fast. Parikshit Maharaj had the sense of urgency. It is very instructive what he did. He wanted to show by his example. We cannot imitate him. We can only follow in his footsteps in our own ways. He left everything. He left food. He left water. What to speak of clothes? What to speak of all of his family members? What to speak of all he accomplished in his life as a king, establishing the greatness of a city, of a kingdom, of a palace. He left everything. That's how much he valued hearing from Shukadev Goswami. That's how much he valued the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, Shukadev Goswami himself in Srimad Bhagavatam is describing how Mathura, Vrindavan, is eternally the home of Krishna. This is a profound understanding. Krishna is about to be born in Mathura. By material standards, this is a very, very incredible idea. Krishna is not yet born in these verses, and he's explaining that Krishna eternally lives in Vrindavan. Eternally means always in the past, always in the present, always in the future. He just appears to worldly vision at a particular historical moment. And he disappears from worldly vision at another time. But he's ever existing there. The importance of Mathura Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. At Seva Kunj, the holiest of all holy parts of Vrindavan, the place of Krishna's not just the eternal place of Krishna, but eternally where Krishna's performing his most loving pastimes with Sri Radha and Gopis. That's Prabhupada's residence, Sri Radha Damodar Temple. And what did he do there? He spent years translating, studying the commentaries of all the previous great acharyas, and giving his purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was elderly, and he understood this divine truth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. Krishna, with the love, Mahabhav, and the compassion of Sri Radharani, has come to the world to teach us how to be devotees. He based all of his teachings on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He called it the spotless Purana. And when he instructed Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, it was very much on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, which culminates in the loving pastimes of Krishna and Sri Radha and the devotees, the Vrijbasis. The age of 69. He didn't have dictaphones, what to speak of computers. He just hand wrote and hand typed. And there were no electric typewriters that he had access to. Have you ever seen those really old typewriters where you have to really press hard to get the key to go, and if you don't press hard enough, it's not even clear. You have to go. Then every few days you have to change the ink ribbon, which is usually kind of a messy situation. He was sitting in his little room on the floor, studying, meditating, praying. He called his purports his devotional ecstasies. He personally typed with his fingers every letter. Then he had to go to Delhi. Went to Vrindavan in 1971. There was no highways then, like there is now. Just crowded trains. He went to Delhi, and he had to somehow or other find people to give donations for paper. And in those days in India, paper was really difficult to get. We read about it in Prabhupada Lilamrita. He had to beg influential spiritual people and others to influence government to get permissions for paper. And somehow, after years, he had two volumes done, but he couldn't raise enough money for the third volume. He went all the way to Mumbai. He had to beg from Sumati Maharaji, I can't raise the money for this third volume. Can you publish it for me? You're a devotee of Krishna. And she did. Years of begging for every page of paper. getting loans and credit from the publishers. When he didn't have anything, he had no assets to guarantee. And he had 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there were no book distributors. Bhrigupati Prabhu, he was just going to elementary school in those days. He was the only distributor. How much he valued. And then he decided, I have Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I can go to the West to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and the order of his Guru Maharaj. And that whole first canto, almost all of it, it was translated right at the place of the Rasa Lila in Sri Vrindavan. Radha Damodar. He left Vrindavan. Begged for a little space on a cargo ship to New York City. Earlier this year, or last year in December, I went to a very special place. Cochin in Kerala. And I was with some very special guests for a very special purpose there. And the day I was going to leave, I decided to just take a walk along the seashore, just a few minutes from where I happened to be staying. I saw something that was almost brand new. It was a large kind of brass plaque, and it had explained this was the spot where the 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams were put on the Jaladutta. Kochi, you should all go there, it's worth it. It's in the middle of nowhere. There were these gigantic cargo ships there. And there was an Indian Navy ship where they were having some exercises, where they were doing all their drills. And I'm just walking, and there's that plaque. The devotees from that area just put it there a few months ago. It's beautiful. I have a photo of it. And it describes very briefly the history. That's the very place where the Jaladutta was sitting for a couple days. That's where Srila Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami in 1965. That's the place where his Vyas Puja, Nandotsava, where he happened to be. But most importantly to Srila Prabhupada, that's where all the boxes with the 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams, they were shipped from Delhi. And that's where they put on the Jaladutta. Srila Prabhupada boarded in Calcutta. Srimad Bhagavatam boarded in Cochin. And together they departed. And it was just a few days after that that Srila Prabhupada had his heart attacks and seasickness. And where Krishna revealed that he was the captain of the boat with all his incarnations, taking the boat safely across the sea. And I was explaining last night, I believe, when Srila Prabhupada came to America, Boston, then New York. He was going to different bookstores to distribute the Srimad Bhagavatam.
And there's a famous letter. In Sri Mayapur, there was a festival, ILS, where leaders from all over the world were there. And on a particular day, I read a letter that Srila Prabhupada received on the 50th anniversary of when he received it. Just last month. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Mumbai, he went to a bookstore, a company, and he met a man who was kind of the regionally in charge and asked him to distribute his Srimad Bhagavatams throughout the Maharashtra state. And the person agreed to do that. And from America, Srila Prabhupada was really struggling. So he asked the person to send whatever money he had, send me in America, whatever money you have gotten from selling the Srimad Bhagavatams. And also Srila Prabhupada asked him, I would like you to expand and be in charge of distribution for the whole of India. That letter's there. And the letter he received back in February 1965, 50 years ago, he said, these days people are not interested in religious books. We've hardly sold any. Most all the bookstores that we've put them in, they're sending them back to us. So not only will I not be able to take on the whole country of India, but I will not be able to continue Maharashtra either. And he only made a few dollars. Srila Prabhupada was not discouraged. No one was helping him. He was alone. He had nothing. And this was the news he received. How much Srila Prabhupada understood the value of Srimad Bhagavatam. Wherever he was, he continued translating and writing purports. The second canto, third canto, fourth canto, up to the 10th canto. And after giving to whoever, there's a beautiful story where there was a prestigious place, I think the Asia Society. Srila Prabhupada was invited to speak there. And he came in all alone. And he had this box of Srimad Bhagavatams. And he was just sitting in a row. And this one man, he was a Muslim person. He just happened to see the advertisement. And he came. And he sat down, because there was hardly anyone even there. It was not a large hall, but it was like 80% empty. And he was sitting there, and he was next to this elderly gentleman in robes. And it came time for the speaker to speak, and Srila Prabhupada turned toward him and said, I have to speak now. Could you watch these books while I'm speaking? And then Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful talk, and afterwards he was giving his books. And he asked that Muslim boy, you know, could you help me distribute them? And he did. And then at the end, he asked, can you carry the box to the back to the taxi? I'm going home. And this person, later, he was interviewed and he spoke about it. So that's, in his own supremely compassionate, simple way, how Srila Prabhupada completely understood the value of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like Krishna is eternally in Mathura and Vrindavan, Krishna eternally is the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam itself, Vyasadev writes, that after Krishna left this earth and the darkness of Kali consumed everyone and everything, Krishna descended to give light in the darkness of Kali as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj left an entire kingdom and everything to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Our great acharyas, they left everything. Sanatan Goswami, he was a prime minister of an entire kingdom. He had such incredible wealth and power and influence. And the Nawab Hussein Shah was very disturbed because he wasn't coming for his work. He sent a message, what's happening? Sanatan Goswami sent a report, he was sick. But the Nawab Hussein Shah needed him. So he sent a doctor. The doctor came to the king and said, he's in perfect health. What's he doing? He's studying Srimad Bhagavatam with all of these Brahmins and pundits. And that's what he was doing. He was just studying Srimad Bhagavatam. He was put in prison for that. So what is the value of this great little, this most beautiful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam? What should be our enthusiasm to share it with others? But in order to really have that enthusiasm to share it with others, it's really important that we understand its value ourselves. It's the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literatures. And the more we taste it, if we're really tasting it, the more we will be enthused, determined to share it with others. So I guess what I'm doing now is giving a little purport to Swavas Prabhu's presentation last night. Krishna appears in Srimad Bhagavatam just as he appears in Mathura. He performs his pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam just as he performs his pastimes in Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.